Nexus Church is all about cultivating an authentic Christian community where old and young alike journey with Jesus and are transformed by the gospel. May we be challenged and inspired by the power of His Word.
All right. We are jumping into a wonderful series called Here and Now. And it's been a four-week series, and it's our prayer that, you know, when you stop a series, it doesn't stop you living that way. It's actually the commencement of us understanding more and stepping into what is to come. And so the first week, Josh Plum spoke on the person and the role of the Holy Spirit. If you can remember that particular story about the pilot light, that will always stick to me. And then when it explodes and heats it up, it's a furnace, it erupts. Andy was talking about being filled with the Spirit and not allowing outside sources to dictate our reality, be allowing the reality of heaven to influence the outside. And then we had Pastor Nathan last week talk about the concept of contested space. What a powerful time of ministry and anointing that was. And so tonight I want to talk about how we can better understand the kingdom of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. How we can understand the kingdom of God, the greatness, the vastness, the immensity of the kingdom of God through the lens of the Holy Spirit. And so if we set up a bit of a context for our scripture tonight, it's Paul talking to the church of Corinth. And these guys were power hungry. In a world, in a culture of elitism, these guys were chasing power and wisdom. They were all about prestige. It was all about the knowledge and the intellect and the wisdom of man. And it was the creme de la creme of society. The most important people saying the most important things. And if you weren't important, you were seen as less than. And there was quite a large disparity between the haves and the have-nots, the withs and the with-nots, and the upper class and the lower class. And this was creeping into the church. And Paul is targeting that you're placing so much emphasis on platform, you're placing so much emphasis on personality and prestige that you're actually missing the message of the cross because you're wanting to esteem the talents and the oratory brilliance of others rather than myself, and so, or rather than Christ. And so Paul is saying, as we're about to read this topic, hey, there's got to be a challenge coming your way to put Christ in his rightful place. The cultural narrative of the day was one of power, one of celebrity, one of status, and ones of how I can lord it over and have more than. Does this sound a little bit similar to our culture today? Yeah. Of wealth, status, popularity, success, how we can continue to climb the echelons of life, to continue to outdo, outbid, have more, do more, achieve more, all for the sake of what? And so we had people like Aristotle coming through these Greek places, and they would, before they would enter into the city, they would have people go forth and give them a list of his achievements and his status and his experience. And so as this celebrity or as this brilliant narrator or orator would come into town, people would flock under the wonder of their words and be consumed by the intellect and the wisdom that they had. And so that's a little bit of a context as to see what Paul is addressing here. And it's found, and we'll start in the end of 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. And it says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." So straight away, we see a setup here by Paul saying that some would see the cross as foolishness, but to others, you would see the cross as power, life, victory, truth coming at your way. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. And it's a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called both Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. When I came to you, I did not come to you with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you in the testimony of God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. I love that. Mate, I remember writing that down when I finished school teaching and I came into the ministry here at Nexus Church. My office had a blackboard, and I remember writing this scripture because I was just like this nobody from Longreach, you know, come down, sunny coast boy, just doing my thing. And I was just like, all right, it's not going to be through wise or persuasive words because I haven't got much. But if anyone's going to get helped, if the Spirit's going to move, it's going to be through the demonstration of the Spirit's power. And so if you can imagine Paul looking at the church of Corinth and how they actually asked for Paul not to come. They asked for Apollos to come because he was a better orator than Paul, and said, well, if we're going to get you, well, okay. But they were so enamored with personality, they were so enamored with celebrity that they would just look at what they said and believed what the wisdom of man said. And so Paul's just like, I came to know nothing except Christ and him crucified. I've not come with wise and persuasive words like everything else. You know, you've set your culture up where you're enamored and you're moved and you are shaped by all these philosophers and people of great wisdom and triumph, but I've not come like that. I've actually come not as somebody to be admired, but somebody who is to serve, because I've had a revelation of the Spirit's power and what he truly does. And so I've not come with wise or persuasive words, but a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Why? So your faith doesn't rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. And we can get caught up in that type of culture, and we can get more excited, I suppose, as, oh, well, they're speaking, or what about that person? And we can kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater if we don't necessarily know a name. And we can kind of get caught in this bit of this cultural undertone that's coming through the Corinth church if we're not careful. And sometimes we need Paul to say to us, hey, what do you have in your right perspective? Because you're allowing these people to create division in the church. You're allowing your culture to not align itself with the kingdom culture of the Bible. And so it continues on into chapter 2. What no eye has seen, and what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. The Spirit is to enlighten us to the kingdom of God, to enlighten us to the free giving nature of God, his love, his purpose, his restorative work. The Spirit of God allows us to understand what God has truly given. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is a powerful scripture talking about the Spirit of God and how Paul is wanting us to understand our role, but also the culture in which we sit and how the Spirit of God wants to move in and through us and to shape us with new perspectives. So I just want to talk about how we can understand the kingdom of God through wisdom and power, how we can understand the kingdom of God with what he has freely given to us and what he has freely revealed to us, and understanding the kingdom of God through the mind of Christ. So I won't take too long. So don't cancel your dinner plans. All right. The first one, how do we understand the kingdom of God through wisdom and power? We've set up the context that wisdom and power was the prevailing worldview. And they were very interested in gaining intellectual wisdom to leverage and for it to be self-seeking to attain influence and power. Influence and power, how can I gain more in order to push myself up, in order to puff myself up, in order to gain a reputation, in order to be the name around town, in order to have people respect, admire me. And so it was self-seeking accolades. And it was creeping into the church. It was creeping into how they listened to the teachings of Christ and who they would listen to, because they would be so in awe of some people talking about the message of God, but then dismiss others as insufficient, as less than. And that's not what Christ came to do. Christ has come to reveal his glory, his message, his Spirit through all people, no matter our social standing. And so this message is not a blight on culture. This is a message of understanding the Spirit of God for us to live in our culture and to be the light and salt of the earth. So the thing is with culture is that we can either be separatistic and we try to separate ourselves from culture, alienate and isolate ourselves from culture so we come out unaffected, or we can be very accommodating and assimilate into culture. And they're the two temptations, is it's one or the other, but there's a third way, and that's being the light of Christ, even in a dark world. Jesus says that you are in the world, but you are not of it. And so how is the Spirit of God moving in your life when you're in the world, although he has called you to a new identity? And so that the cultural narrative, the cultural worldview, the prevailing worldview doesn't dictate the headlines of our Christian faith. But the Holy Spirit, the work of the cross, is constantly there in front of us, as we said earlier, seeking first the kingdom of God. And so there's biblical wisdom, which is God's way, where it's just aligning all our skill, all our minds, all our talents, and just aligning it to God's way. That's biblical wisdom. And this is what Paul is calling us to. See, Jesus speaks of a parable, and he says that there's two homes that you can build. You can build on the foundation of the rock, or you can build on the foundation of sand. The winds come, the waves come, and the big bad wolf will blow your house down. No, I've got my stories wrong. But one is a firm foundation. It's the rock of Jesus Christ, the rock of ages, firm foundation. The other is built on the cultural undertones and idols of our day. And if we constantly build it on how much and gaining our worth, our status, our achievements from this, then it breeds in us like a status anxiety where we are... If we've tried to grab it, then that means we need to hold on to it. And so then we're looking over the shoulder and we become inferior or insecure. We become addicted and we have this status anxiety, or we become rank conscious, where we feel like the world is like a ladder and I'm placed 37th, but I want to get to number one. And so what do I need to overcome and what do I need to do to step over? And I'm a nobody in my workplace, but then I need... So the thing is, like, I'm not saying anything bad about our culture. Like, it's great to have all this stuff. It's great to be people of influence. It's great to have money and wealth and all that sort of stuff. But if we turn it into an idol, that's when we're building it on the sand. It's not the issue of having it, it's the issue of worshiping it. And that's when it becomes an issue. And Paul is saying, if you continue to build and continue to esteem and continue to get caught up in this cultural narrative, then you're going to actually miss what the Spirit is wanting to do in His church. And that's to draw you into Christ's message, Christ's purpose, His plan for humanity, His redemptive, restorative work through His people. And so we're looking at wisdom and power, and Paul talks about this concept of wisdom and power, foolishness and folly. He mentions it over 20 times in such a short passage of Scripture because he realizes it is an idol of the day, and there are people who see the cross as foolishness. There are people who see the cross as a stumbling block, because when we're talking about power, they've learnt to attain it. They've learnt to assimilate it. They've learnt to accommodate power, their quest for it. Why would power end up on a cross? That's foolishness. They can't believe it. It's like everything that you're saying, everything that we've been learning, that is foolishness, and I can't get over the line, because why would power end up crucified? I don't get your story. It shouldn't happen like that. And so when Jesus comes and we look at the cross, we need to redefine what power and weakness look like. Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve. He didn't see his equality with God as something to be admired or worshipped, but he emptied himself and was obedient to death, even death on a cross, as it says in Philippians 2. And so Jesus, who had power, used his power not to leverage it about over people, but to serve. And so Paul is writing here that if you want true power, your true power is not through self-giving. Your true power is not through propping yourself up. Your true power is through self-sacrifice. To realize that it's not about you, it's not about the accolades, it's not about the prestige, but it's about the people of God. Even the lowly, even the outcast, you need to start seeing them, esteeming them, and not having them as a pity party, but seeing them as a brother in Christ and start serving them, not lording it over them. He's redefining power and weakness. And I believe that you and I, through the challenge of the Holy Spirit, need to do the same. To realize what true power truly is through understanding and grasping hold of the life of Christ and living that out. That is true power. That is true power. And so we understand what true power and wisdom is. The second one, through the Holy Spirit, we can understand the kingdom of God through what has been freely given and revealed. I love Nexus Care. Oh, man. I love Sundays. Sundays are like my favorite day, but I tell you what, there's another day of my week that I just look forward to every time. And my only role is to stop and to talk to people and make them coffee and say, would you like to chat? Would you like to pray? Oh, man. Just the relationship that has been opened up through that. And like this morning at church, I looked around and there's six people sitting in our church service who are there because of the initiatives of Nexus Care. We got to a time where we just passed the microphone around. I felt like Larry Emder running through the crowd, you know, like the Price is Right, saying, there was like 9 people giving testimony, and this one lady came up and she said, I've been here and been helped through Nexus Care, and I just want to use this time to say thank you to the church. They've saved my life. And I was just like, wow. Another time, a few weeks ago, been walking with this guy, and he's a rough sleeper. And I remember just sitting in the gutter with him on the side of the road, and we were just sharing it. And I said, you know, what's up, mate? And he goes, just someone stole my bike and stole my tent. And so I went, well, let's go. So we walked into BCF, bought him a brand new tent. And anyway, so he's just like, while you're here, I'd love to introduce you to my friends. And so we walked around this community, they call it Tent City. And he just introduced me to all the people who are rough sleepers at the moment. And I was able to then go, and there's a beautiful person sitting here who was given blankets, and I was able to go back and give them all blankets as they go into winter. And this is the power of God. And some people would say, how is that? They're lowly, they've chosen their lot in life. Jesus doesn't say, oh, they're now a project for the church to adopt. No, not at all. They're not a project. They're a person who has the ability to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And what this scripture teaches us is that we have an understanding through the power of the Holy Spirit to truly see what God has revealed to us. It says, what eye has seen, what ear has heard, what mind can imagine, what God has prepared for those who love him. But we're able to see what God has prepared. We're able to lean in and listen to what God says. We're able to see in our world what God has provided. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit. You know, we're looking at this scripture, this title here, and I'm a wordplay guy, I'm a visual guy, and you know, I'd love to sometimes just drop the E off here, put it with an A, so it becomes here. And then drop a K like Nipe, and I'm the most uncool dude ever. And drop it in front of the now. You know, so it's here and no. And that's the same thing of the Holy Spirit, right? You guys were impressed with that. Oh, wow. Mate, I could fit right into the Corinthian church. Great orator. Here's my resume of English brilliance. But we can hear and know what God is doing in the world. We can hear and know what God is doing in the world. We can listen into his mysteries. We can have the fruits of the Spirit alive and active. We have spiritual gifts, the gifts of discernment and prophecy, and we can take part in what God wants to unveil and reveal and do in his kingdom. Amen. I was just speaking with Ray Della Torre at the back there, wonderful Ray, and he was telling me just before the start of the service that he just got back from the Philippines because of a funeral, but he got delayed in the Philippines because of the typhoon. And so he had to book another flight, and that got bumped. So he ended up just staying another week in the Philippines. So he said, well, why don't I go and see some of my family while I'm here? Anyway, ends up during that delay, that inconvenient time, ends up leading his nephew to Christ. Come on. Yeah, that's amazing. God wants his people, his children, the world, to understand what he has prepared for those who love him. He's so keen to get on the front foot. He's so keen to reveal his love. He's so keen to unleash his kingdom here on earth if we could only know what how we can participate. And the last one, and I'll be very, very short on this one, because we are running out of time tonight, but we can understand the kingdom of God through the mind of Christ. That bemuses me. how can we have the mind of Christ? If I was to break this down, it's simply that we have the ability to understand the plan of Christ. We can understand the purpose of Christ, and we can understand the perspective of Christ. The plan of Christ was that all would be saved. He didn't come to condemn the world, but he loved it so much he came to save it. That's the plan of God. And when we have the Holy Spirit giving life to us, we can understand that that's Christ's heartbeat for the world. We have the mind of Christ. We have his purpose. His purpose was to reach out to the lowly. You know, whoever. What's that beautiful scripture? I was hungry, yet you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Anyone who did these to the least of these did it unto me. The purpose of Christ is to unveil his kindness and his redemptive and restorative love to humankind. That's his purpose. How is he going to do that in your workplace this week? Will you allow him? Will you understand that you have the mind of Christ, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses in wherever you go? It's not confined to a worship service with a body of believers. Although this is beautiful and I would stay here for a long, 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 long time, Christ's heart is that we would go into all the world. And his perspective, his heavenly perspective, sometimes we get, because of our natural tendencies, we get caught in the lens of just seeing this world through pain and brokenness, what we see on the news, and we get limited view of what God's truly up to. But when we have the mind of Christ, we are almost elevated to see the tapestry from above of how God is weaving his love in and through communities, in and through families, ministering through schools and universities, how he's ministering on the job site, how he's ministering in the home. We get to see that from a new perspective. So let's finish tonight simply by surrendering, hey? Simply by saying, Lord, I'd love an understanding of knowledge and power, not for my sake, but for your service. If the team would like to join. Lord, I want to see how you're moving and revealing your kindness, your story, your grand story in and through the people I know, in and through my life. Lord, help me to understand that I have the mind of Christ. It's not something I need to attain, but it's something I've received through simply accepting Christ as Lord and Savior. I want to see your plan. I want to see your purpose. I want to be renewed by your perspective. What can stop us from experiencing the mind of Christ? Finish sort of as we started, where there's a blockage on my pathway. My pathway was clear for a time, but then all of a sudden fear turned up. And fear tried to hold on. Fear tried to get into my family, where my kids were too afraid to step outside their front door. Fear had me jumping every time I heard a noise. Fear had me looking behind the hedges. Fear had me closing the gate that was never closed before. But the Holy Spirit went to work, and he gave me the mind of Christ. And he gave me an understanding of what my eyes and my ears and my mind can imagine for the good things that he's prepared. He gave me a revelation of the power of God, that even though Christ looked like weakness on a cross, it was the most powerful thing that ever happened. And through his tragic death, victory arose, triumph arose, and we live in that place of victory. And so, Lord, upon your people, I pray, Lord Jesus, that our minds would be not conformed to the patterns and the cultural undertones and the narratives of this world, but let them be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Let us think of things above. Let peace rule our hearts. Jesus. Just place whatever it is before him right now. It could be a prayer, it could be a surrender, it could be an idol. Just place it before the Lord and say, Lord, have your way, change my perspective. Let it be immersed in your love. I don't want to chase these idols anymore. Lord, I want to serve you first. I want the fulfillment of the Lord to be my guide. I want the fulfillment of the Lord to fill me to overflowing. Let's stand together. Let's just seal this night with just a couple of times with this song, Holy Spirit. And then we're going to open up the altar for prayer and finish the service with a great time of fellowship. But just continue to worship him, adore him. Allow him to fill you to overflowing. Allow him to move in power. Amen.
We hope this message encouraged or perhaps even challenged you in your Christian faith. Our pastors meet regularly with people to pray and support them, and we extend this invitation to you. Please let us know if we can contact you to offer support. Simply call the office or visit nexuschurch.com.au.